No regrets, Coyote. We just come from such different sets of circumstance. I'm up all night in the studios and you're up early on your ranch. You'll be brushing out a broodmare's tail while the sun is ascending, and I'll just be getting home with my reel-to-reel. There's no comprehending just how close to the bone and the skin and the eyes and the lips you can get. Still feel so alone and still feel related, like stations in some relay. You're not a hit and run driver, no, no, racing away. You just picked up a hitcher, prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. A farmhouse burning down in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night. We roll right past that tragedy till we turn into some roadhouse lights where a local band was playing. Locals were up kicking and shaking on the floor. The next thing I know, that coyote's at my door. He pins me in a corner and he won't take no. He drags me out on the dance floor and we're dancing close and slow. Now he's got a woman at home. He's got another woman down the hall. He seems to want me anyway. Why'd you have to get so drunk and leave me on that way? You just picked up a hitcher, a prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. Right in the face on the road to Belgeny near my old hometown. He went running through the whisker weed chasing some prize down, and a hawk was playing with him. Coyote was jumping straight up and making passes, and those same eyes just like yours under your dark glasses, privately probing the public rooms, peeking through keyholes and numbered doors, where the players lick their wounds and take their temporary lovers and their pills and powders to get them through this passion play. No regrets, Coyote, I just get off up a ways. You just pick up a hitcher, prisoner of the white lines on the freeway. Coffee shop. He's staring a hole in his scrambled legs. He picks up my scent on his fingers while he's watching the waitress's legs. He's too far from the Bay of Fundy, from Appaloosas and Eagles and Tides, and the air-conditioned cubicles and the carbon ribbon rides are spilling it out so clear. Either he's gonna have to stand and fight or take off out of here. I tried to run away myself, to run away and wrestle with my ego. This flame you put here in this Eskimo, in this hitcher, in this prisoner of the fine white lines, of the white lines on the free.
She'll tell you that she's an artist. First and foremost, she'll say she's a painter derailed by circumstances. She doesn't say that out of humility. She's a great painter, and she knows it. And she likes to paint much more than doing her day job. Her problem is that she does that other job too well. She can't paint all she wants, but when one is recognized as one of the greatest songwriters of one's generation, it's hard to find time to do other things. But Joni Mitchell has never been one to bow to convention. Roberta Joan Anderson was born in Northwest Alberta on November 7, 1943. Her family moved around Western Canada when she was very young, eventually settling in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Although a terrible student in school, her brilliance was evident at an early age. She taught herself how to play guitar out of a book of Pete Seeger songs. Having contracted polio at the age of 9, her left hand was weak, so she created tunings to compensate and help her play the songs in the book. The tunings have since become one of her hallmarks and are the foundation of what she herself calls Joni's weird chords. Joni Mitchell is a complicated woman. Some would even say she's a walking contradiction. One of the greatest singer-songwriters of all time who calls herself a painter. She wrote the defining anthem of Woodstock, even though she did not perform or even attend the concert. She is an icon of the 1960s counterculture, even though she has said she rejected the anti-war movement because she had family who died in World War II. A beautiful woman known for the sweet voice on her early recordings, she is an exacting person who demands much from those around her, and she can be a harsh and direct critic of other people's music, sometimes even dismissive of her own work. I have spoken many times on this show about my personal Mount Rushmore of music. Because it's my Mount Rushmore, I get five faces. On one side are the hardscrabble East Coast songwriters Bruce Springsteen and Billy Joel. On the other side are the two great folk singers who changed rock music with their embrace, Bob Dylan and Neil Young. And right in the middle, front and center, is Joni Mitchell. An incredible singer, an amazing guitar player, a truly creative mind who has mastered the genres of folk, rock, and notably jazz as well. There are not enough superlatives in the English language to express my love, my admiration, and my undying respect for her. So tonight, a few days before her 78th birthday, we present a show I have considered many times but never really attempted for no other reason than I did not think we could do her justice. And probably we won't, but there just comes a time when one has to stand up and applaud, so that's what we're going to do with this show. Tonight, we present the majestic brilliance of who? Joni Mitchell. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is the Weekly List. Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of the Weekly List.
Yeah, man.
You just sit there tonight.
Okay, yeah.
I got this.
You got this.
I got this one.
So I'm just going to say like the pithy comments here or there and just observations.
And you heard my intro.
Oh, yeah.
You know how I feel about Joni.
Yeah, she's like the center of Mount Rushmore. Mount Richmore.
How about that?
I hate that idea.
Anyway.
What a shock.
But. Okay. You know, poking the bear tonight might be a little bit easier than normal.
I know. I'm going to be very, very careful on this because I've gotten smacked hard in the past and, you know, my fingers in the cookie jar.
I apologize if I get a little too precious about Joni, but I just, Joni.
No. I mean.
I love, who else loved Joni Mitchell? Prince loved.
And loved. Spending the time with all this material, and Rich picked just about all of this. There was one song that I felt like had to be in there, and of course Rich was going to pick it anyhow. But that's the one song that I'm going to claim.
Well, you can claim it, but I would have.
I know you would have picked it anyhow.
Yeah.
But so listening to all this material, and Rich is much more the expert on Joni Mitchell by far. There's a lot of things that I'm hearing in these songs from a musical point of view.
I'm going to interrupt you right there, though. I do not claim to be an expert on Joni Mitchell because you know what? Nobody can be. When it comes to Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell's heart is an ocean of secrets,
yes.
Mister, and you best understand that.
I do understand that, and the point that I'm trying to make here is you're going to be much more of an expert on this material than I am. I'm listening to a lot of this, and I'm hearing the musicality of it, and so that's what I'm riffing on and the stuff that the sounds, and you mentioned Prince, and I've certainly... it was amazing some of the things that I was thinking about when I was going through this deep dive in the music. First of all, for some, I'm not a giant Joni Mitchell fan. I'm really not. I like a lot of her stuff, but I'm not as hardcore as you are.
Yeah.
By far. But the majority of this stuff, I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I know that one too. Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, maybe I know a lot more of this stuff than I thought.
This is what just boggles my mind. This is why I say you really do like everything to your detriment.
No, because, actually I don't, and I've got an argument on that one.
Well, okay, but my point is that you're listening to things like I don't even know what the heck the name of that band was that we played last week, that like the high Hard-Fi.
The Hard-Fi.
Right? You're listening to Hard-Fi when you could be listening to Joni Mitchell.
Here's the thing, Richard. Now I'm gonna put this to rest on the I like everything. Now, granted, let's be very honest. I listen to a lot more music than you do.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. So if I like 20% of everything that I listen to, my 20% is greater than most people's everything. So that's where your everything comment comes from. Because my 20% of what I listen to is an extraordinary amount of music.
Except that
it's all about numbers and percentages.
You know, I will sit around and talk a lot about music that I don't like. And I like Joni Mitchell. I have some very exacting taste. I never hear you talk about music you don't like.
Because I don't want to waste time talking about things I don't like. I don't.
But
I don't. But, it's not interesting
bad
to
music,
me.
Bad music is
bad music.
Bad music is a blight on humanity. And it needs to be extinguished, and it needs to be done away with.
Okay.
And we need to talk about this.
Okay, and here's the point that I'm going to make on this, okay? Every song that has gotten to the point where it's recorded by somebody had to have been finished by somebody, the writing, and had to have been wanted to record. And I look at it, this is the challenge for the listener. Find the one thing about that composition, the one thing. And in some cases, it might be one chord sliding into another. It could be a tiny phrase. What is the one thing that made the songwriter in the first place get to the point where they even wanted to finish the composition? But because, see, you know, as a songwriter, I have written and abandoned a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so why would I work on something that I think is crap?
Well,
I abandon it. And I think most songwriters are like that.
I'll tell you why, and it happens all the time. It's because if you're, as a songwriter, you might be thinking, writing something that you think is absolute crap, but you know that 14-year-old girls are going to love it, and their parents are going to spend the money on it to get it for the 14-year-old. So,
that's true.
And that's what's wrong with the music business.
Well, but at the same time, I'm also going to argue, hopefully, if they've gotten to the point, they found something that for somebody, even if it's a 14-year-old girl, and I don't want to, I think the little girls always understand, and little girls at 14 years old, if there's something that they like, and I don't care whether it's NSYNC or the 1975 or the Beatles, there's something that appeals to them. And I think it's up to us as a listener to take the time and really listen and figure out what that is for ourselves.
Yeah, but the songwriter didn't create it because they liked it.
They're constructing something.
Yeah, but they didn't like it when they wrote it.
Well, not how do you know that? Unless you're the songwriter.
I promise you.
Unless you're the songwriter.
I promise you. In fact, I've heard even Barry Manilow. I've heard him talk about how, like, because he used to write jingles, right, for commercials, right? He would write things that he knew would absolutely get stuck in your head, even though he hated it because he was getting paid to do just that. And that, my friend, is what's wrong with the music industry.
Have you heard the latest Diet Coke commercial? It's fantastic.
I will not poke on it.
We're going to talk about the sacred.
We haven't even
here.
Talked about the first song yet, and we've already gotten off on a tangent.
Exactly.
A massive tangent.
Okay, so tell me about the first song.
Okay, first song was, God, where to begin with Coyote? First of all, I have a feeling I'd have to go back and, like, go through all 117 editions of the weekly list, which this is the 117th show tonight.
Wow.
And I know that for a specific reason that we're going to talk about later in the show. I think tonight Coyote joins the pantheon of most played songs on the weekly list. It's on the same level as Gimme Shelter and Heroes.
Wow.
Because I think I might have even played it. I might have even played it on the very first show. I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, I had a company, a music booking company called Coyote Entertainment that I named after that song. That album, the song is from an album called Hijira, which came out in 1976, and she wrote the album after having made a massive cross-country road trip from Maine to California. And like she like went down the East Coast and through the Southeast and like really took her time.
Sure.
And did it, by the way, without a driver's license.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, and she's Canadian, too, so that's even more impressive.
Exactly. But she wrote all of the songs on Hijira. They're all either written during the road trip or they're inspired by the road
trip.
Wow,
that's cool. So it's a song cycle, then.
Oh, absolutely.
Travelogue.
It is, although don't call it a travelogue because she doesn't like that.
Jeez. I mean, it's one thing to tick you off, but man.
Do not.
Tick off Joni Mitchell.
Do not tick off Her Highness. Okay. which is easier to do than it is to tick me off, I promise you.
Wow.
Oh, she's, you know what? I don't know if I can say this on the radio or not. She's a really famous
Okay. Well, what I really liked about this was, first of all, the interplay between the guitar and the bass. And the bass is by Jaco Pastorius.
Yeah.
And especially the harmonics.
We were sitting in the studio mm-hmm. just now listening to Coyote, mm-hmm. and I had to play it all the way through because I could listen just to those harmonics.
Yeah,
all day.
And for those that are curious, what a harmonic is where you're what the bass player is doing is he's lightly taking his finger and he's touching it on the string. And there's certain frets that you can do this, and when you hit with a pick, it makes kind of that chiming sound.
Yeah, it's a chime.
It doesn't work on every single fret, but on some of them, and players know this, and you use it all the time. I mean, the Edge from U2 is all over it.
Yeah.
Edward Van Halen does it a lot. I used to play around with. Yeah. I love playing with pinch harmonics, artificial harmonics, and stuff like that. And Jaco Pastorius just gave a crash course right there for it, and listened very carefully.
Jaco Pastorius was he was a jazz bass player. He was a virtuoso.
He played in Weather Report.
Weather Report, right? Exactly. Played with a lot of people, and was a really mercurial guy.
That's a light way to say it.
And got to this point where. By the way, he and Joni were involved when they recorded Hijira. And he played with Joni for 3 or 4 years after this too. I mean, there's a great concert video Joni did put out in a film from 1979 called Shadows and Light. Jaco is her bass player. Pat Metheny is her guitar player.
Pat Metheny, another jazz guitarist.
Anyway,
that was killer.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, anyway, Jaco had a temper. And also, Jaco was filled with self-loathing. He would get into this, get into these moods where he'd go to bars and start a fight just to get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I hurt myself today to prove that I could still feel, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then one day he ticked off the wrong guy and literally got his brains beaten in.
Yeah.
And died in 1987 in a bar. Died like 4 days later, but basically died from a bar fight. Yeah, just horrible.
Badass, but a killer player.
Oh, my God.
I mean...
Rewrote, I mean, or maybe wrote the book, I don't know, on fretless bass to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, Nathan East is the only guy who comes to mind who...
Well, it was funny, I was listening to some of the playing, and I had mentioned Michael Manring.
Yeah, who I don't know.
Michael Manring used to do a number of albums for Wyndham Hill. Do you remember that?
I do remember Wyndham Hill.
And there was some really, really interesting stuff. I mean, just this great spidery kind of sound.
Right.
And he's definitely influenced by Pastorius.
Well, you know, if you play bass these days, you don't even know you're influenced by Jaco Pastorius. Yeah. Anyway, so that's Coyote.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and the other thing I want to quickly say is that I had thought about. She played Coyote at the Last Waltz, which as mm-hmm. like
that's your thing.
If I'm a rock historian, I consider the Last Waltz to be one of the most important moments.
It's like the Rosetta Stone for you, isn't it?
A little bit, not quite, but it's close. And there's Robbie Robertson. The way he introduces Joni, he just says, "Who? Joni Mitchell." And I referenced it in the intro, but. I wanted to open the show that way,
sure.
Right? But then I thought, well, then you're trading out Jaco Pastorius on bass with Rick Danko on bass. Nothing against Rick Danko,
but
he ain't no Jaco Pastorius.
No.
So we had to play that. So that's that.
Anyhow, the next song that we're playing is My Secret Place. This was this one I really, really like because it's got Peter Gabriel.
I feel like had you picked had you known a bunch of Joni Mitchell songs,
oh, I would have picked this for
you.
Her.
Would have picked
heartbeat.
This one, right? I kind of picked heartbeat. This for you, and I also really like this song.
It's a great song,
and it's a bit of a glove box call because it's on an album that a lot of people ignored called Chalkmark and Rainstorm. Came out in 1988.
Okay. So that makes sense. We were in college at the time, yep. And so yeah, I remember hearing this and the Peter Gabriel So album from '86. Mm-hmm. I freaked over that, and I had Toto's Fahrenheit on one side, and I had Peter Gabriel's So on the other side, and that was like constant back and forth on right. One of those Sony Walkmans, clicking back and forth. And so Peter Gabriel, man, he could have sang the Phone Book, and I would have been at that time of my life, I would have gone, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. And he still probably could sing the Phone Book, and I'd feel that way.
He'd sing it so well because he's Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, of course he's Peter Gabriel.
Anyway, the story behind this song, how this all came together. Joni's been married exactly once for less than 10 years. She was married to a guy named Larry Klein, who was a bass player and a producer. Larry Klein had been in England producing Benjamin Orr's album.
The Lace. Okay.
Right? And by the way, Benjamin Orr is all, there are so many people on Chalkmark and Rainstorm. Go look at the guests. Like just this song, by the way, Peter Gabriel and Wayne Shorter are both on. Yeah.
On sax.
That's Wayne Shorter. Yeah.
Nice.
So anyway, Larry Klein's in England. Joni's over there with him. He gets a call from Peter Gabriel. This is 1986 or 85 maybe even. And he said, hey, I'm finishing up this album I'm calling So, but it needs a little bit of touch-ups on the bass here and there. Would you come over to my studio and just do some touch-up stuff? Because I know you're in town, basically.
Okay.
So Joni and Larry Klein go over to Peter Gabriel's studio, work on, do the work on So, whatever the heck he did on So, I don't even know. And Joni just happened to say, I just wrote this song. You guys want to take a swing at this? And so the basic track they recorded that day in Peter Gabriel's studio, and then of course they really dressed it up, and it didn't come out until 3 years later. But
I love that. Yeah, I love that. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's how it works. Right.
So from 1988, Chalkmark and Rainstorm. This is the amazing Joni Mitchell and the amazing Peter Gabriel with My Secret Place. 95.1.
So
I'm gonna take you to my special place. It's a place that you, like no one else I know, might appreciate. My special place, my special place, for my secret place. Talk to tell you something, or to take up space. Guess I'm only talking to be talking to your pretty face. I don't talk much to anyone, but you're a special case for my special place. Place. I was born and raised in New York City. I'm just getting used to Colorado. Oh, street bravado. Carry me. Why did you bring me to a place so wild and pretty? Pigeons in this park. muggers after dark in these golden trees. Your secret place. Your secret place.
In my secret place. In my secret place. In my secret place. In my secret place. I'm gonna take you to my special place. It's a place no amount of hurt and anger can defeat. I put things back together there. It all falls right in place in my special space. Once I saw a film in New York City that was shot in Colorado. Girl meets desperado in the trembling mountain trees. Out of all of the girls that you see in bleachers and cafe windows, sitting flirting with someone, looking to have some fun.
Been out sailing in a decade full of dreams, and he takes her to his schooner and he treats her like a queen. Barren beads from California with their amber stones and their green. He has called her from the harbor, he has kissed her with his freedom. Heard her off to starboard in the breaking and the breathing of the water weeds, and she's so busy being free. There's a man who's climbed a mountain and he's calling out her name, and he hopes her heart can hear. 3,000 miles he calls again. He can think her there beside him. He can miss her just the same. He has missed her in the forest while he showed her all the flowers, and the branches sang the chorus as he climbed the scaly towers of the forest tree. While she was somewhere being free, there's a man who sent her a letter and he's waiting for his reply. He has asked her of her travels since the day they said goodbye. He writes, I wish you were beside me. We can make it if we try. He has missed her at the office with her name on all of his papers. Through the sharing of the profits, he will find it hard to shake her from his memory. she's off somewhere being free. There's a lady in the city, and she thinks she loves them all. There's the one who's thinking of her, and there's the one who sometimes calls. There's the one who writes those letters with his facts and figures scrawled. She has brought them to her senses. They have laughed inside her laughter. Now she rallies her defenses, for she fears that one will ask her for eternity, while she's much too busy being free. There's a man who sends her medals. He is bleeding from the war. And there's a jouster and a jester, and a man who owns a store. There's a drummer and a dreamer, and you know there may be more. She will love them when she sees them. They will lose her if they follow. She only means to please them, and her heart is full and hollow like a cactus tree, while she's so busy being free.
Danny, that was a song called Cactus Tree.
Cactus Tree?
Cactus Tree, which was originally on her debut album,
yep.
Songs to a Seagull, which, terrible name for an album.
Yeah, I mean, look, I grew up on the East Coast. I know seagulls. They can have an unfortunate response to people walking underneath them.
So what is a song to a seagull?
Well,
indeed. Anyway, but and
frankly, that went sideways so many different ways.
But that recording is from her 1974 live album, Miles of Isles. Again, not a great name for an album, but
well,
if
you're talking about an empty room, I can see that. You know, it's kind of self-deprecating.
The cover of Miles of Isles is like at Alpine Valley, the Pavilion.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's a painting which she painted. Of course.
What a shot.
Of her sitting in the empty pavilion of an amphitheater with her little red painted toes, and
nice.
It's adorable. Anyway.
It's adorable.
It's Joni. Cactus Tree. There are, and Joni knows this about herself.
Mm-hmm.
There are some women out there. They're rare. But there's the occasional woman you'll meet where every man she meets falls in love with her.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And these are amazing women, right? Obviously. Joni's one of those women.
Okay. Right?
Joni, very famously, much like Taylor Swift.
you once called Joni or Taylor Swift kind of the Joni Mitchell. You made that comparison.
That's how you put Taylor Swift into perspective for me.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay.
I buy into that, actually. Yeah. Joni said, especially when she was younger, Joni had a lot of boyfriends,
mm-hmm.
right? Joni went on a lot of dates with a lot of guys. Joni was connected to Leonard Cohen and James Taylor and Graham Nash and Jaco Pastorius,
yep.
and on and on and on and on. That song that she wrote was kind of sort of about that, even though she was, she was 24, I think, when she wrote that song. But she loves these guys that are sort of the people that are right in front of her. But she's never going to commit to any of them because, you know, got to have your freedom.
Right.
You know,
I got to say, freedom is an important thing, too.
Absolutely.
So.
Thank you, George Michael.
All right.
There you, oh, that wasn't what I was intending, but thanks. Okay.
I don't.
I have a lot to say about this next song. So if you've got anything to say about Cactus Tree, please do it now.
I don't think so. I wouldn't dare. I like the song. Yeah, I mean, you know, and that was a good live version. I did hear the original, and I like live versions a little bit more. It fleshed it out a little bit more. So I like that.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
This next one, this is from Blue.
It is.
I love this record.
Well done.
Yes. Last time I went shopping, one of the last times, and I did like a big album haul, I went and bought a copy of Blue on vinyl.
That's good.
And I was like,
that's good. And you've clearly listened to it a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. That's good.
I love this album.
Okay. Little Green is the name of this song.
Okay.
When Joni was 22 and still living in Canada, in fact, I think she was still living in, before she had even gone to like Ontario or Toronto to like start being a singer, right? She got pregnant. And her ex-boyfriend who had knocked her up split,
mm-hmm.
went to California. So there she was left, and like she wrote about this. She was left with no money, 3 months pregnant in a cold water flat that only had a fireplace for heat, and winter was coming in Western Alberta.
That's okay? Not a happy situation. Mm. And this is like, was it the, about what year would have this?
64 maybe?
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not 100% sure exactly, but it's right. It's right in there. I don't even know how much I should say about some of this stuff. She gave the baby up for adoption,
mm-hmm.
Eventually they got back into contact with each other in 1997 when the baby was probably, her name was Killoran, was probably in her early 30s.
Okay.
One of the things that I've heard Joni say about that situation is that when she gave that baby up for adoption, is when she really became a songwriter. It's when she really started to understand how the world works, and she understood how to filter it, right? So that's where things started for her. She said when she met Killoran is when she lost interest in writing songs.
Really?
Yeah. So there's the, like, it's
bookends.
It's this, well, it's more than that. It's this space where you know there's something out there that is missing. There's something out there that is out there, and you have to search. You can't search for it for a long time, and then you start to wonder if you should, and whatever. I mean, whatever, right?
Well, and that's one of the essential ingredients of songwriting. I mean, whenever I sit down with a notebook, the first question is, okay, what is this about? And then I write verses after verses after verses that are nothing but confusing mess, and then I try to tie it together in some kind of way that makes reasonable sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's just, yeah. So and it makes sense to me.
I think I've talked about this a little bit on the show. I was adopted,
mm-hmm.
I got in touch with my birth mother in 1994 when I was 25 years old.
That's right.
And she has become. I am so fortunate. I know so many people who are adopted that have searched for their birth family and have had. Everyone I know has had a lesser experience.
Yeah, you. I know that, and you and I talked about that a lot
beforehand.
And I know that you were nervous, and I remember the conversations that we had, and the reasons behind it. You were very pragmatic about it, that you wanted to know a little bit about more your health background and what kinds of things your biological family was. So, you know, you were going to have your kids. I mean, right, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it was right before Katie was born.
It was actually right after Sarah was born.
Okay, it was sometime between Sarah and Katie.
My oldest daughter.
Yeah, right. And you wanted to figure out, okay, what kinds of, you know, you want to know some of the family history, you know.
Are there
heart problems? Are there cancer issues? So,
So I've been incredibly lucky because not only is my birth mother incredible,
mm-hmm.
right, her wife is incredible. That's a whole another conversation for a different time. My extended family through my birth mother are amazing people. I got three awesome cousins. I've got two great aunts. I've got uncles and cousins' husbands and all kinds of stuff. I love these people. I haven't been down to Kentucky in way too long.
Well, it was a kind of a connecting of ideas too, because it came out, okay, this explains why you like bourbon.
Yes, it does.
And I was especially pleased to find out that you have a wee bit of Scottish blood. So
there's that. And my birth mom just pointed this out to me not that long ago. It's really appropriate that I work at a radio station called KYMN. KYMN, Kentucky, Minnesota.
Haha.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
Wow, it all comes together. Yeah. Now you can never write a song again.
Well, I'm done. Yeah. Well, and actually, that's true, because I have not written a good song almost since I met my birth mom.
Okay, well, you know.
Whose name is Elizabeth, and she listens to the show, and hi, I love you.
Hi.
Yeah. Anyway, I did not know, no one knew what this song was about until Joni had connected with her birth daughter and then made that public.
Right.
And it turns out she wrote 5 or 6 songs about this whole situation. But Little Green from Blue, 1971, is the, to me, it's a touchstone. I mean, it's an incredible song.
All right, let's listen to it, man.
So, 1971 from the Blue album, one of the greatest albums of all time. This is one of the highlights of that album. This is Little Green on 95.1 KYMN.
Born with the moon in Cancer, choose her a name she will answer to. Call her green, and the winters cannot fade her. Call her green for the children who've made her little green. Be a gypsy dancer. He went to California. Hearing that everything's warmer there, so you write him a letter and say her eyes are blue. He sends you a poem and she's lost to you. Little green, he's a non-conformer, just a little green, like the color when the spring is born. There'll be crocuses to bring to school tomorrow, just a little green, like the nights when the northern lights perform. There'll be icicles and birthday clothes, and sometimes there'll be sorrow. Child with a child pretending, weary of lies you are sending. So you sign all the papers in the family name. You're sad and you're sorry, but you're not ashamed. A little green, have a happy ending. Just a little green, like the color when the spring is born. There'll be crocuses to bring to school. Just a little green, like the nights when the northern lights perform. There'll be icicles and birthday clothes, and sometimes there'll be falling.
And I get that crazy feeling I know I'm in trouble again. I'm in trouble, 'cause you're a rambler and a gambler and a sweet talking ladies' man. And you love your loving, not like you love your
from 1974's Court and Spark, which is her most successful album. That was actually her most successful single. That was called Help Me. That her only top 10 song ever.
Really? That was that's it?
That's it.
Now you're always about the, is that American charts? Because she had to have done really well in Canadian charts and the UK charts and all the European charts, because that's what my focus is always on.
She didn't do very well. She's not done very well in the European charts. She owns Canada.
Yeah, she
as,
should.
As she
and
well
Neil
should.
Young. And Corey Hart. I'm just saying.
Get that out of here right now.
I mentioned Corey Hart during a Joni Mitchell show. Yeah, I just look, I got to keep it real. I got to poke the bear every once in a while. And this is a public service announcement.
Why is making me angry keeping it real?
Well, you know, I'm trying to temper it a little bit so that when they encounter you at Imminent, I've already diffused a little bit of the weekly tension.
No, you haven't diffused. All you've done is stoke the fire.
Well, and then I get out of Dodge. I head up north to Eden Prairie. All right. Okay, so we're done. And I love that song, Help Me. And, you know, we talked about the influence of Prince.
Yes.
Or her influence on Prince.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was listening to this, and I remember a long time ago, before I was kind of even remotely familiar with Joni Mitchell, to be honest with you, Prince would always say that Joni Mitchell was the one that he was most in touch.
Right.
And I always got the note of, well, her lyrics are always very honest and they're introspective, and I can hear that with Prince. And when I was hearing Help Me, I'm going, oh, he riffs on that in Ballad of Dorothy Parker from Sign of the Times.
Oh, really? Is that what the song
is? Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's,
who knew?
Rich is totally making fun of me because I was drawing a blank in the break. And I'm like, what is that song that Prince references, and so Rich called it.
I actually knew something that Danny didn't. It was crazy.
So you should feel good about that. Enjoy your point.
The bear feels better.
See, it was all set up, you know. I make you angry, and then I throw you a little bit of honey.
Just keep talking.
Okay, so, yeah, that was... Prince really was highly influenced, and that was a theme that I... All the songs that were playing on this, I really heard so much of Prince in this, that to the point of... I started getting a little bit upset at Prince, going, you know what, you're ripping this woman off left and right, because I heard melodic inversions that Prince has taken,
yeah,
and in some of them, he kept them in the same key.
Yeah, you know? That's not stealing, that's homage.
Well, it is. You know, what is it, a really great artist steals outright?
Good writers... borrow
right.
from other writers.
That's right.
Great writers steal outright.
Yeah, so that's very true. And Prince did that a lot. And if you're a giant Prince fan and you haven't spent some time with Joni Mitchell, I really, as a Prince fan, I'd suggest that you spend some serious time with Joni Mitchell. You'll understand Prince a lot better.
Wholeheartedly endorse that idea. Those of you out there listening who are gigantic Prince fans, go spend a little time with Joni.
Yeah, you'll understand your hero a little bit better. And I think that that's the case with just about any artist. If you love an artist, find out who they love.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, tear it back a little bit.
That's how you and I have become the weirdos that we are.
Yeah.
We started at Billy Joel.
Right.
And then worked our way backwards.
Well, and the thing that's weird is some of the new artists that I listen to now and I go, yeah, you know, you're totally ripping off Springsteen. I mean, I love Brandon Flowers and the Killers, and I'm going, oh, you're totally lifting that from the boss.
Yeah, of course he is, and he knows it.
Oh, he does. Yeah. He'll admit it.
And so Springsteen. Okay, next song reminds me of the month that you and I spent in London.
In January
of 1989, and it's because that was my first real exposure, being in London for a month, that was my first real exposure to busking. Buskers, right? And like, it's such a trip to go down into the London Tube and like, they're like every 10, 15, 20 feet, there's somebody playing an instrument with their hat out or
they've pulled it way back though.
Have they really?
Yeah. I mean, you got to get a busking license and all kinds of stuff.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah. The last time. Yeah.
Oh,
but you see some really,
me.
You see some really unique ones. I saw a guy in like a Sylvester suit, you know, like Sylvester from, you know, tweeting all that stuff. Playing a trumpet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's gotten a little bit more gimmicky.
Interesting. Okay. Anyway, but this song is about a busker, a guy playing on a street corner, playing a clarinet on a street corner with a hat out. And Joni is a rock star and she comes across this and her whole thing is, and I've talked about this a lot, that guy's as good as I am, but here I am and there he is.
Yeah. I still think that we got to do this at Nicollet Avenue sometime.
I would love to do that sometime.
One of these great summer days, we got to do it and get arrested. I think that would be fun.
I'm all in. I got arrested for playing music. Are you kidding?
Yeah,
I'm
what
all
a
in,
great...
Right?
We could record some of it for the weekly list and really hear us getting busted
so
on air.
This is from her third album, Ladies of the Canyon. This is called Real Good for Free on 95.1 KYMN.
I slept last night in a good hotel. I went shopping today for jewels. The wind rushed around in the dirty town, and the children let out from the school. Standing on a noisy corner, waiting for the walking green. Across the street he stood, and he played real good on his clarinet for free. Now me, I play escorting me to the halls. And I play if you have the money, or if you're a friend to me. But the one man band by the quick lunch stand, he was playing real good for free.
The lights are open.
from her 73 album For the Roses. That's Joni Mitchell with
What a Shock.
You Turn Me On, I'm a Radio. I really love that song. I loved that song before I worked in radio.
You know what I thought of when you sent me that song? Because I wasn't familiar with the song.
Yeah.
You really want to know?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking of the band Autograph with the song Turn Up the Radio.
Oh, my God.
This was probably better, right?
This is better.
Okay. I'll even own up to that. That was better.
You like everything.
I know, but I went with Autograph, Turn Up the Radio, and nobody in the world, even people our age, is probably going to remember that song.
There's a lot of metalheads our age, dude.
I know. I remember being in Duluth on some kind of choir trip. Cruising around.
I don't care about your choir trips. I want to hear about that.
But I heard the whole album that night.
Well, that's just awesome. That's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right, what's next?
Time now for the Weekly List Haiku Corner. Brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
Well.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, I mean, this is what, 2 weeks in a row, 3 weeks in a row, we've had to pause and so that you could run off
I'm
and write that?
I'm a busy guy.
Well,
I don't know what else to tell you.
I mean, I'm sitting here with a break and you writing haikus.
It's
and
not
like,
dude, it takes me 10 minutes to bang these things out. Well, I just have to take the time to do it. That's all.
Okay. Well, and you're getting all defensive on this.
Hey, you know, my first haiku was actually inspired by you.
Oh, that's a problem.
I don't even think that this is insulting. You were my muse on this. It's not like directed at you, but you gave me the germ for this one.
Well, then this is fair play, I guess, because I was sitting here. What am I going to do? You know, while you're masterpiecing your haikus, so I wrote a haiku too.
Well, let me write mine about that, okay. That you gave to me.
Okay, and then I'll read the one that you gave to me.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Okay.
Hey, I know that song. I know that one. That's Joni. She wrote all those songs?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That was actually not bad. Not bad.
Okay, okay. Let's go.
Here's the one that I wrote. Okay, you ready for this?
Sure.
I can't believe it. Once again, Rich forgets his job. Haiku Rich, my ass. I thought that was really funny. I'm getting the cold stare. I'm a dead man. It's been nice knowing everybody. I've really enjoyed my time on the Weekly List. It's been a joy. And now I turn it over to Haiku Rich. Dead air, man. Dead air, not good. I thought that was funny. I'm.
You should just stop talking now.
I think that's probably wise.
I think it is, too. I turned off his microphone. She had a baby. And then she started to write songs, because that can help. She wrote some great songs, and then her baby came home. It's a great story. That was two haikus. Don't say anything because they can't hear you anyway. Just sit there. You're in timeout, mister.
Wow!
She dated a lot. Seriously? You judge that? You would date her too. Her voice was golden. Cigarettes changed her voice, though. Now it's like velvet. Okay, yes, you're right. Tonight I'm just a fanboy. At least I have taste.
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Imminent.
And there you have it, the most contentious poetry corner you'll ever experience.
Actually, in all seriousness, you cut my mic off, but that was fun.
It was super fun.
That was fun.
I have a script here for Imminent Brewing, but we winged it pretty good last week, so I'd kind of like to try to wing it again.
Okay. You think that's risky?
We'll see what happens here.
Okay.
I'll start off
you
by
know,
saying
we're being sponsored by Imminent, and we both love Imminent. But, you know,
I love Imminent for a number of reasons.
Yeah, for many, many reasons. So just winging it, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but it's the same. I'm like, I've been reading the same script for like two months.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Exactly. So we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
But we got to keep it brief because we're way into overtime today already.
Well, that's right, fanboy.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, at least I have taste.
Hey.
We want to thank Lauren Derek Myers for sponsoring the Weekly List and making this show possible every week, and just
absolutely,
you know, for being great people. Just really quickly, let's touch on the COVID stuff for a second. And the reason I want to do this is because we've got live music on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
This outstanding trio called Art Vandelay from the Twin Cities is coming down.
Yeah.
Art Vandelay, they're named after, if it sounds familiar, they're named after a Seinfeld character.
Yeah.
Right. And they're three really, really, really super talented guys. And they're playing an album release show.
Oh, nice.
On Saturday night. And they're bringing an opening act with them, the whole thing. Music's going to be from 7 to 9 p.m. Here's the thing.
Okay.
We're still capacity limited.
Ah, so get there early? Is that what you're saying?
If you get there and there's not a seat for you to sit in, you can't stay. You can buy a growler or a howler and then go away, but you can't buy a beer and wander around the
What about the patio? Is like a door open?
Yeah,
so
actually, the weather is supposed to be really nice.
Okay,
but it won't be warm enough to open the garage doors. But you can sit on the patio, and I'm sure we'll have the sound playing out there, so you can do that. But you can't be inside to watch the band if we don't have a seat for you.
So get there early. Make your plans around that for the day.
And by the way, we're doing this because of COVID-19, and we're still doing this whole COVID-19 thing because there's still a bunch of people out there who won't get vaccinated.
I know.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
And you should probably wear a mask. Carry your mask in your back pocket.
I have one in my back pocket right now.
Yeah,
good
for you.
Right there it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, perfect.
See? Okay. What else do we want to talk about? You know, real quick, I want to run through the what's on tap, and then I've got something to talk about. Off of that.
Okay. Yeah, so do I, because one of these, man.
Okay, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Well,
just tell me about.
Okay, last week, every once in a while, Rich will bring me a growler. It's now every once in a while, which is probably good, but you know, I'm going to go on vacation from my main gig in about 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need one next week, because the following week, I'm going to be off that entire week, and then I come back and do the show on that Wednesday, and I'm going to need another one to get me through the last half of my vacation.
You are going to be on vacation from the Weekly List, by the way, coming up, and I have to tell you about that, but I'll let you know about that when we're talking about just.
But I'll be here next week, right?
Okay,
but anyhow, last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, I got the Prairie Creek Porter.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, that was a delight. That was fantastic.
It's good beer.
It was so good.
That beer is one of the if it's not an original, I don't know if it was actually on tap the day we opened, but it was close. So it's a beer we've been serving for 4 years.
Okay, I hadn't had it.
Yeah,
I'd never had it before. It was delicious.
The recipe has sort of been massaged and developed over time.
It has some nice tones to it, and you know, flavors, and
it
was. It was really enjoyable. And that's,
yeah, different
that's one,
brewers approach it differently, so yeah.
Yeah, and that was one that it was just really nice. And it took my time drinking that
I'm glad
pint.
You liked it.
It was so good.
I'm really glad you liked it. Okay.
So anyhow, talk about the others.
So here's what else is on tap. Here we go. Dragon Squirrel Juicy IPA, Gateway Cream Ale, Cannon River Pale Ale, Prairie Creek Porter.
Yum.
Quick in the Red IPA, Question Mark Hill Wheat, Double Agent J Double IPA, La Tropical Sour, although I had someone come to the bar on Saturday and order a Tropical. So I'm now going with La Tropical.
La Tropical?
Tropical Sour, which is a key lime guava sour.
I think we talked about that one
time. Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Yep. And Zombie Palm, which is a cranberry pomegranate. Can you guess why it's named Zombie Palm?
Because it was just Halloween recently.
No. We had this earlier this summer too. Zombie is a cranberries song, song by the Brown Berets.
Oh, that's like, right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Zombies. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's from their second record. Yeah.
So it's Cranberry Pomegranate. That's back too. But now we are also featuring a beer called the Brave Noise Pale Ale. Now there's a bunch to talk about with this.
Okay.
Beer. Last week we talked a little bit about the rules for humans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was the rules for humans was sort of inspired by this. It just came to light that there's a huge problem with sexual harassment in the craft brewing industry.
Yeah.
And that came to light this past spring. And because of that, Laura and Derek started a conversation with us as staff about,
very good,
this is what sexual harassment is. We want you guys to understand that we're going to have some advocates talk about some things. We had a couple of alums, people who used to work at Imminent, come back and talk about some of their experiences working at Imminent, which was eye opening to say the least. But sexual harassment has sort of been a theme, if you can want to call it that, at Imminent, maybe behind the scenes, but it's been for the year.
Yeah.
We got involved. We, Imminent Brewing, got involved with a company called WeVow, is sort of a consultant that helps you figure out some of these things. And I don't know if this is directly tied to WeVow or not, but there are 140 breweries across the country that have all sort of kicked in on one beer recipe.
Okay.
And it's called Brave Noise Pale Ale. And every brewery does it a little bit differently.
Sure.
And it is a beer that is out there named Brave Noise to bring awareness to,
oh, that's so cool,
sexual harassment prevention. And for every beer, every Brave Noise that we sell, that Imminent sells, Imminent is making a donation to the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
I think that's fantastic. And you know what I really like, just to kind of go back into the music kind of theme of this?
Yeah.
I like the idea of there being a recipe out there that 140 different breweries are all sharing and doing their own take on it. That's kind of like you've got this composition and 140 jazz bands are all doing slight little variations on that, and they each come up with their own vibe with that. So I dig that notion.
Art is always open to interpretation.
I know. I think that's yeah, cool. And yeah, I love to hear, you know, and in my mind, brewing beer, that's a very creative act as well.
And culinary arts, man.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So it's cool that Imminent is involved in something like that. Yeah. And it's a good thing that you can do when you go to Imminent and you get one of these. And you can feel like you're making a difference and also tasting something that's really good.
Right. Now, I just told you you're gonna have a week off. You get the week in between Christmas and New Year's off.
Really?
Yes. Because Laura Myers was on the radio with Jeff last week. Did you hear that? Did you hear her interview?
Yeah.
She was talking about all the stuff.
Sure.
And of course, Jeff asked her when she was going to next co-host the Weekly List.
See, and I knew that because she killed me.
Well,
she was so good when she took over.
When she did for the Tour to Save thing.
Yeah, that she
and she, and
rocked
she will,
it.
She will, as long as the Tour to Save is going on, as long as she's involved in the Tour to Save, as long as I have this show, we have this show, she will co-host that. She will do a co-host every July.
I gladly surrender the seat because she rocked.
Anyway, so for the last show of 2021, we're going to do a Rules for Humans show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And good.
And you are more than welcome to come down and hang out, but she's going to sit in that chair. Okay. And Laura's going to program the show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. She picks some good stuff. So
she's great. She really knows what she's doing. Anyway, so Imminent Brewing.
Unlike us.
Unlike
exactly.
Us. Imminent Brewing is open 4 to 9 on Thursdays, 4 to 9 on Fridays, 2 to 9 on Saturdays, 2 to 7 on Sundays. For more information, visit Imminent Brewing. Last week, I gave the wrong web address. I gave the wrong web. I said,
don't say it again.
No, I'm not gonna. Imminentbrewing.com. imminent.com, not dot anything else, dot com.
Dot com. C-O-M. Imminent,
go and visit imminentbrewing.com. And as Laura always tells the staff, take good care of yourself and each other.
Very nice.
All right.
Okay, so the next song that we're doing is a very well-known song, but this version is not by Joni Mitchell,
this
right?
You kind of talked me into doing this, kind of, because I wasn't even going to do this. I wasn't even going to put the song in the show. And you were like, dude,
I love this song.
Dude, you can't do a Joni Mitchell show and not play Big Yellow Taxi. My problem is I don't really like any of Joni's versions of Big Yellow Taxi.
I listened to a couple of them as well. And I tend to agree with you. The version that we're going to go with, and there's a lot of covers of this. There are a lot.
this is one of the great environmental anthems.
Exactly.
Of our time.
The version that we're going with is by Counting Crows of Big Yellow Taxi.
And this is my favorite version of this.
I love this.
This one works.
It's on their Hard Candy album, and it's also on their Greatest Hits.
I pulled this off the Greatest Hits because I think, is Vanessa Carlton?
She's on both.
Is she?
Vanessa Carlton was a singer. Well, she still is a singer-songwriter. She had the Thousand Miles. Her second album, Harmonium, was even better.
You're the only person in the world who has heard Vanessa Carlton's second
That's
album.
That's not true. Okay. It had a following of its own. But anyhow, her
just like Tapao's second album.
That never even came out here, man. Don't rag me on that. But Vanessa Carlton does these background vocals. And I was kind of surprised that you liked it because it's very, very produced. It's very of the time it came out, which I think might have been like around
mid-90s.
It was later than that because this was from the third album. No. It was like right almost at the
turn of
like
the century.
1999, 2000.
Yeah, maybe a little later, like 2002, 2003.
Yeah, because Vanessa Carlton had a bigger...
I remember hearing it
this.
in a certain office where I was working, and I was working in that office in 2003 and 4.
And, so. I mean, it got me into a kick because after hearing this again, I went into a Counting Crows kick for this week and Mrs. Potter's Lullaby all that stuff.
I really like Counting Crows. Not everybody does.
No, Adam Duritz is a little quirky.
And frankly, I'm not a big fan of Duritz live. Because you want to talk about a guy who's never sung the same song twice.
No, right? He hasn't. I saw them open for The Who a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was a great show, but at the same time I went, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they have put out some really great music though.
Yeah.
Not everyone agrees with me.
No, but
yeah. Anyway.
But this is Big Yellow Taxi by Counting Crows, and it's from their Hard Candy album, and that is Vanessa Carlton that's singing background vocals here on KYMN 95.1 The Ooksie.
They paid paradise and put up a fucking lie, with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise and put up a fucking lie. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum, and charge the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You pay a paradise and put up a fucking lie. Paradise, put up a fucking lie. Hey, now they pay paradise to put up a fucking lie. One night.
Listen, late last night I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took my girl away. Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, nah, nah, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Why not? They paved paradise, they put up a parking lot. Hey, 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 pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
Thank you. swallowed by the sky or by the sea. Like me, she had a dream to fly. Like Icarus ascending on beautiful, foolish arms. Amelia, it was just a false alarm. I've spent my whole life in clouds at icy altitudes, and looking down on everything, I crashed into his arms.
I feel like
Amelia, it was just a false alarm.
From 1976 and the Hegira album that is Amelia. Danny, there are two guitars.
On that song. You know, I don't know what the song's about, to be quite honest with you.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go about that. What really struck me on this was the sound of those two guitars interplaying.
Do you know who those two guitars are?
Who are those two guitars?
Joni Mitchell and Larry Carlton.
Figures. I mean, it was such an interesting mixture and interplay between those.
Right.
It's almost like the two guitars were just dancing.
Yeah.
And that's what I really liked about that. So you talk about the song itself, though.
Okay. Well, Amelia, again, Hegira was this album that she wrote while she was making this gigantic road trip, right? She got to thinking about Amelia Earhart. And how Amelia Earhart, you know, flew solo across the, I don't know, would she fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean? I don't know, but how like lonely that must have been. And, mm-hmm. and Joni's driving solo across the country, and that got pretty lonely too.
Although Amelia had a navigator with her.
When she died.
When she died. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but like when she.
Oh,
she,
oh, you, all the other pre yeah, stuff. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Oh God! Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. So she, I went and did some research on this song
because
I've always really liked it, but I've never really like thought much about it. I just really wanted to play the song, right? You know what I mean? People, there's a whole like following out there behind this song. So I read articles that called this the best Joni Mitchell song of all time.
Wow.
And like there's a thing, like there are some people who think this is the greatest song ever written.
Amelia, wow.
Yeah. It's a very good song. I read one article somewhere that said, she's writing about Amelia Earhart, but not Amelia Earhart as the pilot in this song. Amelia Earhart is her therapist.
And that's an interesting play.
It's a great song. You know what I was going to say about Hegira? I don't know why this is. I just realized this, though, tonight. when I picture Joni driving across the country in 1976, for some reason I see her in a station wagon.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I would have gone with a VW Bug or something.
I don't know what she was driving. I'm pretty sure it wasn't a VW Bug.
Maybe
I'm pretty
a VW
sure it wasn't,
van.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't a station wagon either. Joni wouldn't drive a station wagon.
No, you can't see that.
Yeah. But my mom had a station wagon in 1976, so therefore I see her driving a station
my
wagon.
My first car was a Pontiac Grand Le Mans Safari station wagon.
Wow. Isn't that something?
You remember that?
Yeah. You have kids.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
My kids are very definitely grown. My youngest is about to get is now engaged to get married.
Yeah, that's right. I still remember the day she was born.
Me too.
Weird.
My oldest is essentially has her own family and they've grown. You have kids that are younger than mine, but they are both
they're
adults.
Yeah. My son is 20, my daughter is 22, and she's older than me in many cases.
Yeah. So you know that's the thing. You have kids and then they grow up.
Yeah.
And you know what that is?
Me getting old?
That's the circle game.
Ah, I see. You're tying this back.
Well, of course I'm tying it back.
You know what? I got to have a little bit of fun here. Yes, that is the circle game.
Joni.
It's the Elton John circle of life.
Joni wrote this song sort of as a reaction. Do you know the Neil Young song Sugar Mountain?
Yeah, I do.
Joni heard Sugar Mountain and wrote Circle Game.
Really?
Yeah.
As like a direct response?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was inspiration for
well,
the
circle game.
Well,
you know, and I think the passage of time and kids growing up and reaching the age that the musician was when perhaps they started, it really, you know, I think you and I, in all seriousness, I mean, we talk about this kind of stuff, but now you and I are at this age where we're starting to, hey, man, it's now the back end of life, you know, the final third.
We are most definitely on the back nine.
Well, yeah, I'm
probably on the 15th hole at this point.
But you know, I mean, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of assessing where you've been, assessing where you want to go with the time, and you know, what do you want to do next, and how do you want to make the best of all of the time that we've got left? And I think that that's something that's important. It doesn't matter whether you're 15, 55, 105. It's important to consider where you're sitting in the whole timeline and enjoy the time that you've got and to be properly considering it. And I think that's, when I listen to this song, that's kind of what I got out of it.
The great American philosopher Daniel G.
Hey,
Moyer,
there
ladies
it
gentlemen.
Is.
This is the great Canadian philosopher Joni Mitchell with The Circle Game. This is from her, by the way, this is the live album. This is from, again, from Miles of Isles. A 95.1... She gonna tell a quick little joke before she plays the song too. It's kind of cute. 95.1 KYMN, the one.
That's one thing that's always like been a major difference between like the performing arts to me and being a painter. You know, like a painter does a painting and he does a painting. That's it. You know, he's had the joy of creating it and he hangs it on some wall. Somebody buys it again, or maybe nobody buys it and it sits up in a loft somewhere till he dies. But he's never, nobody ever says to him, you know, nobody ever said to Van Gogh, paint a starry night again, man. You know, he painted it, that was it. Let's sing this song together, okay? This song doesn't sound good with one lonely voice. It sounds good with the more voices on it, the better, and the more out-of-tune voices on it, the better. No, it was really... It was made for out-of-tune singing, this song. Yesterday a child came out to wonder, caught a dragon fly inside a jar. Fearful when the sky was full of thunder, and tearful at the falling of a star. So I'm getting my best out-of-tune voice on. Okay, here we go. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the
painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle again. Then the child moved 10 times round the seasons, skated over 10 clear frozen streams. Words like "when you're older" must appease him, and promises of someday make up his dreams. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle again. 16 springs and 16 summers gone now. Cartwheels turn to carwheels through the town. Tell her, take your time, because it won't be long now. Till you drag your feet just to slow the circles down. Here we go. And the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle again. So the years spin by, now the boy. Dreams have lost a lot of grandeur coming true. There'll be new dreams, maybe better dreams. There'll be plenty of new dreams before the last revolving year is through. And the seasons, they go round. Round and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go round and round and round in the circle again.
Before our love got lost, you said,
I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada. Oh, Canada. With your face sketched on it twice. I would still be on my feet. I am a lonely painter. I live in a box of paint. Is touching souls. Surely you touch mine, 'cause part of you pours out of me in these lines from time to time. Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. It tastes so bitter and so sweet. Oh,
from 1971, that was from Blue. That was A Case of You.
You know something, Rich?
What?
That is my all-time favorite Joni Mitchell song.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
About, I mean, it is so beautiful. The lyrics are drop-dead perfect.
You know who she wrote that song about?
Who?
Leonard Cohen.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, that song is really passionate. And, okay, there was one song when it came to this that I said, okay, please, 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 has to have A Case of You, has to be in the set list. And so I'm gonna claim a little bit of ownership of this, at least partial, you know, because I love this song. And what I like about it is that aside from the lyrics, which are just so drenched in love, the guitar part, she hits like this one note and kind of shakes it in a bit where it sounds like a sitar. That one note, if you listen really carefully, it's just like,
yeah. Yeah.
The sitar note.
You know, I'd never thought about that. That's kind of really cool, actually.
Yeah, and especially when you think 1971, there's a lot of sitar. Ravi Shankar, man.
There's a lot of sitar.
You know, and I think that that's where some of that probably filtered through.
Yeah.
And I like how she plays that one note on the guitar. It's just cool.
Yeah, that's a great song. God, it's a good song. Well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of The Weekly List. If you like the show, there's a lot of ways you can listen to us. You can stream us from our website, our program page on kymnradio.net, where I have all of the most of the previous editions of The Weekly List
lost archived.
But I have found the lost episodes. We're going to talk about this in a second. You can listen to us right here on KYMN Radio every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, unless there's a sporting event, and then we'll get pushed back a little bit,
right,
or whatever. Excuse me.
You've also got podcasts.
Well,
the
podcast is what we're going to talk about in a second, because we've got some big news about the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We now have a pretty good social media presence. We're on Facebook. You can find us under Facebook, where I post every new show every week on The Weekly List. You can find us on Twitter, where I post every new show every Friday under at The Weekly List, all one word, all lowercase, mm-hmm, at The Weekly List. You can find us on Instagram, where I will make a post that directs you to every new show every Friday.
Now, that's what you do.
Yes.
You told me, hey, do a bunch of this stuff on the Instagram. So
yeah.
I'm taking photographs.
If you like The Weekly List Instagram page, that's like 99% Danny.
You know, I swear you, I promise I won't post anything obscene or too out of left field.
You know, I do want to ask this. I do want to ask, like, the 14 people who are listening to this, I do want to ask a favor. If you like the show, and some of you come and talk to me and tell me how much you like the show, talk about it. Tell people about it. Share us on Facebook. Share us on Twitter. Share us on the gram. Spread the word. If you don't mind, I mean, we would really appreciate it if you would help us reach more people.
And, you know, overall, thank you for listening.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
You know,
it's humbling that even 11 people would listen.
Yeah, I mean, this is fun for us, and we have a good time. And, you know, Rich and I have been buddies for forever. But this is fun for us. So this truly is a labor of love, and it's a lot of fun.
No, it is a lot of work, but I don't mind doing it at all.
Yeah.
Now, here's the big announcement.
Okay, go for it, dude.
Up to now, and it's not, well, okay, well, hang on. Up till now.
It's now Rich's turn to backtrack here on this.
Yeah, well, yeah, but. Up until now, you've been able to podcast The Weekly List by going to the KYMN Radio podcast, mm-hmm,
which is what I've been doing.
We are part of everything that the KYMN Radio podcast, it's all one big happy umbrella family, and everything gets, and you've got to, you know, so once a week we show up on the KYMN Radio podcast. Mm-hmm. As of now, The Weekly List has its own podcast feed. We are a podcast unto ourselves.
No. so we've been exiled, is that what you're saying?
we have been separated. Yes. we've been cut out. Now the way this is going, though, I want every episode, every edition of The Weekly List available on this podcast, and I want them all in order. So I am painstakingly going through the process of loading all of the shows. And I have now gone through, I found the lost episodes. I have gone through and I have every edition of The Weekly List sitting on my hard drive right now. And I am slowly feeding this into the podcast.
Is it like a podcast machine, like a podcast gun that's shooting them out?
They're called websites, Danny.
Is that what they call it now?
Yeah.
This is the interwebs?
It's a website. It's a website.
I had a gun thing. I thought that was, you know, like a podcast there. All right, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Second Amendment. I'm painstakingly doing this. By this time next week, it will, we'll be all caught up and everything will be good to go. We might be caught up in a couple of days. It just kind of depends on when I can grab enough time to do this. It's taking me longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
It's taken me about 10 minutes to load each episode.
And there's 107 of them?
There's 116 of them.
100. Jeez.
Yeah. And the thing is, the longer they are, the longer it takes to load in. And since you showed up, these things have gotten like at least half an hour longer.
Well,
and,
yeah.
And so there it is. So, but go to Spotify, go to Google, go to Apple, go to Stitcher, go to wherever it is you get your podcast, and type in The Weekly List. Evidently, there's another podcast out there called The Weekly List. But I'm sure this woman does great work.
Well, I know, but they're not us, you know.
But it's we're a very different type of podcast. We're the one with the we're the red and the black and the microphone and we say The Weekly List, but so does she. But go follow us. Click that follow button. Subscribe to The Weekly List, and you'll have access. Not only will you have access to every show as it is made available, but you're going to have access to the entire archive as well.
That's cool.
I mean, for what that's worth, I guess. I mean, if you want to go back and listen to me ravel on about, going back to work one day or whatever. I mean, it's, you can do it. You can do it.
You know what? It's bad enough that you and I get into these skirmishes here as part of the show.
Right.
And apparently, unfortunately, I think I may have just attacked another show so we could have a weekly list at war with another weekly list. Think about the possibilities.
I think she does excellent work. I'm sure she does excellent work. I hope there's not a lot of problem. We have the weekly list trademarked, however. So.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so tell us what are we going to do for the closing song tonight? Because I know what it is, and I've got a little thing about it.
Going into the show, there were two songs that I felt had to be on Hell or High Water. Right?
Okay.
One was A Case of You, but I'll gladly concede that to you. That's your show. That's your song. The other was this next one, Both Sides Now. However, this is not the original recording of Both Sides.
Right. Because the original, okay, here's my little thing. She wrote it. This is a Joni Mitchell composition, but she gave it to Judy Collins, who had a hit with it. And this, the sad thing about this, and I've kind of got a bitter taste in my mouth about this song. Do you remember the Columbia House Record and Tape Club?
Yeah.
Okay, so back when I was in junior high, I signed up on that and it was like, fantastic. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get the magazine. And I got like my you get 8 for a penny, and then you got to buy like 4 or 5 more over the next 3 years, and and then you just give your mailing address that you're moving to Canada.
I built an entire CD collection off of Columbia.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is how I got a lot of my vinyl.
Right.
So anyhow, I joined, and it was like you have to pick your genre, and I thought, well, let's see, I want to kind of catch everything, so I clicked pop. Huge mistake, because my very first week, and you had to mail in the card saying you didn't want that month's selection. You know what they had as my first pick?
Judy Collins.
It was Judy Collins, Both Sides Now. And I was like, really? Really? I got a Van Halen record in my first package of 8 and all this kind of stuff and a Led Zeppelin, and you somehow thinking that I'm a Judy Collins fan?
Can I tell you?
I like the song, but
can I tell you how much I do not enjoy listening to Judy Collins?
Well,
and there are people listening to the show that are now like disavowing me.
I know. It cost me 12 cents and a stamp to send back and say that I didn't want a Judy Collins album.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they sent you Judy Collins.
Well, no, they didn't. I had to spend 12 cents so that they wouldn't.
Okay. Well, I just don't enjoy Judy Collins' voice at all. I get it. I don't.
Well, we ripped on Bing Crosby last week, so why not?
But this isn't even like the original, like Joni Mitchell recording. Yeah, because Joni actually was one of those artists who like had 5 or 6 of her songs recorded by other people before she even had a record contract. And Judy Collins, actually, they tried to get Judy Collins to do Both Sides Now, and she wouldn't do it at first, but this song, if you've ever seen the movie Love Actually,
I don't know that I have.
This one should be right
in my wheelhouse, and I think I've got it in my Netflix. I swear to God, I've
Well, you
I
know,
want to
it's,
see it.
It's kind of a Christmas movie.
I will plan on watching it this Christmas.
I want you to promise me,
Rich, I, Daniel G. Moyer, do solemnly promise I will watch Love Actually.
And then I want you to come back and give us a review. Okay. Like our friend Sarah Osterbauer, who sometimes listens to this show, it's her absolute favorite movie. And she is so disappointed in you right now.
I know.
Because, yeah.
I love Sarah, so I, yeah. Okay, I'll watch the, watch. And it is one that I want to watch.
Right, right. Anyway, this song is sort of a key plot point in Love Actually. She re-recorded the song in 2000. I talked in Haiku Corner. I talked a little bit about her voice going from, mm-hmm. you know, she sort of has had that Marianne Faithfull transformation in her voice, right? Mm. And because she has, I'm not kidding about this. Joni has been a smoker since she was 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Laws are a little loose in Canada.
Right. Well, I guess, but, so she had this, she recorded it. I don't even know when she wrote it. She was probably 22, 23, right? And then she recorded it. And then she recorded it again when she was 57.
And okay? Yeah, because the first original version is on the Clouds album.
Yep.
Because I listened to that, and then I listened to the re-recording, which is on the album Both Sides now.
Right, right. So you've got, I mean, it's kind of quaint, right? You've got the young woman who is standing at 23 or whatever it is, and looking back over her life going, well, you know, I've seen clouds from both sides now, but I really don't know what clouds are all about. Yeah. And I've seen life from both sides and I really don't know what life is about. And I've seen love from good and bad and both sides, but I really don't know what life's about. And then you get 57-year-old Joni,
you
go, yeah, I've seen it all. And you know what? I still don't know a damn thing.
You know, the thing that was interesting when I was reading about this song, how it was originally written, did you know where the idea came from?
No.
She was on an airplane, and had been writing some songs,
and
she was looking down, and she's looking at the clouds, and she's thinking, wow, up here, it's so sunny, I see this side of this cloud, but then when you land, it's a rainstorm or something like that, and that's one of the magical things about, I'm a big fan of the sun. And I love flying. When I haven't flown for a long time, but I loved it because no matter what the weather was on the ground, I knew I was going to spend part of my time in a sunny day.
In the sun.
And that's why I always wanted a window seat.
You are a hedonist.
I am.
Yes,
I am.
You are. Anyway. So, happy birthday, Joni.
Yeah.
You know, and Danny.
And hopefully many, 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 many more.
Yeah, well, that's the other reason, like, we haven't done a Joni Mitchell show is because she almost died a few years ago. She had an aneurysm, and she's still dealing with the effects of that. I mean, it basically was a stroke.
Yeah.
And she actually lost her ability to speak for a while.
Yeah.
And
I heard about
that. She uses a cane to get around now, it's horrible to say, but I've kind of, for a few years now, I've sort of been on the Joni Mitchell death watch.
Well, and my thing is when there's a really great artist and somebody of Joni Mitchell's stature, you know, I know that she's not going to perform. I know that she's not going to write another song or produce another painting or anything like that. I just want them to be able to really reap and enjoy all of the fruits of their labor.
Actually, I think she's still painting.
Is she?
Yeah.
Great. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I love painters.
Me too.
I mean, I think that's great.
Me too. I'm a fan of painters.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Danny, thanks.
Hey, always a joy. And I mean, man, thank you, Rich, for not just educating the audience on how great Joni Mitchell's work is, but also for me. I mean,
and
you reintroduced me to a lot of stuff.
One day you will do the same for me with Steve Lukather.
No doubt, dude.
Because
it's going to be a little bit more obscene maybe, but... A little bit more sick, but whatever. You know, that's how it works.
Because, you know, Joni Mitchell and Steve Lukather, they belong in the same zone.
See you all next week.
Thanks, you guys. Talk to you again next week. Peace.
Rows and flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. Looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and they snow on everyone. So many things I would have done
but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way that you feel, as every fairy tale comes through. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. And you leave them laughing when you go. And if you can, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions that I recall. I really don't know love. I really don't know love at all. Say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds. I've looked at life that way. Oh, but now, old friends, they're acting strange. And they shake their heads and they tell me that I've changed. Well, something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. It's life's illusions that I recall. I really don't know life. I really don't know life at all.